I saw a commercial recently about a pretty neat historic event that I wanted to play for you. So I'm going to start off right with that video. Yeah, right? That's good. First off, doesn't that British guy remind you of Andrew Hostetler, right? Doesn't he? Like, that would be what Andrew would do. He's not here today. Oh, that would totally be Andrew. But the cool thing is that actually happened in 1914 on Christmas Eve, the singing between the two trenches of the Germans and the British. They heard each other singing, and they started singing together while in the trenches. And then on Christmas Day, this one brave person took the risk of stepping out of the trenches into what they called no man's land and met another guy, and they had this unauthorized ceasefire between the British and the Germans, and they actually did play soccer, and they actually did exchange gifts, and they did some other things. They had joint burial services for the people that died in that conflict. Over a million people died, and a lot of people died right there as the front lines, and they did a burial service together, and they also gave back the captured prisoners of war that they had, and then they had some more Christmas carols that they sang all together. I don't know if the candy bar actually got passed along too as well, but that really did happen, and it was really risky. Actually, in some parts of those front lines, people thought there was going to be a truce between each other, and they came up out of the trenches and got shot and killed. Well, on that happy note, we're in the fourth week of Advent. During this season of Advent, we've been focusing on the traditional themes of Advent. And I've been talking about every week what the traditional theme of that week is. And as I've been going along, I've been finding out that there's more than one theme per week. And so I've been trying to like incorporate all the different themes that I've been finding out about. And then this week, I found a website that showed me all the possible themes for Advent. Apparently, there's 15 different sets of themes for Advent. And I realized, oh, I guess I could talk about anything I want to, and it's probably a theme of Advent. So my bubble was burst a little bit as I did that. But for today, I'm going to focus on what I think is the most common themes of Advent, and that's love, and we'll be talking about that maybe a little bit more with the Advent candle that we'll light later, and Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is often talked about this day in Advent. Let me show you a picture, the Pietà. The Pietà is this famous statue, one of the most famous statues in the world, of the mother of Jesus, Mary, with the dead Jesus laying in her lap there. It was done by Michelangelo. And what's amazing to me is he did this when he was 24 years old. You know what I was doing when I was 24 years old? I was living in my parents' basement. I feel a little small next to him in this way. But in 1972, this man named Laszlo Toth jumped over the ropes at the Vatican where the statue is, and he started screaming, "I am Jesus Christ," and rushed the statue with a hammer and hit it 15 times, breaking off the nose of Mary, breaking her arm off at the elbow there, the left arm, putting gouges all in her face, and people wept. People were so broken over the statue being destroyed like that. I think that's actually an image of how people have treated Mary throughout history. Some religious traditions have treated Mary with great honor. Sometimes, you know, almost like worship, veneration, or over-veneration, where there's like prayers to Mary, or festivals in her honor, or just this adoration of Mary. And then there's other religious traditions, like the Protestants have, and maybe in some ways reacted to that, and like under-venerated Mary, if that's a word. Like, you know, kind of ignored her as if she's not special, or as if she doesn't have anything to offer, that she's not a model for us to follow, when she really is. She's a remarkable person, and she has a lot of things that I think I want to live my life, I think are helpful for all of us to learn from her. One of the main things you see from Mary is that she was a person totally submitted to the will of God, even when she didn't understand what was going on, even when it was unclear or difficult. So today, as we come together to worship Jesus, I thought it's helpful to look at Mary together and how she worshiped Jesus, how she submitted to God and received things from God and gave birth to Jesus in you know, physical, maybe even in a more spiritual kind of way as well. So here is the first passage we're going to look at. It's from Luke chapter 1. We didn't make a program today. We just figured just put it on the screen for you. Luke chapter 1, it starts off like this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So you see in this story, the angel comes to Mary and this incredible news, and you know, she's highly favored and she's blessed and the Lord is with her. And yet Mary, it says, was greatly troubled. In the original language, it means she was petrified. She was scared to death. And even the angel says, "Don't be afraid." He sees that she is really afraid. And she had reason to be afraid. Just looking at the story, you could pick up on some things. She was betrothed. She was engaged, but actually a little bit more than engaged in our modern age. If she broke it off, it wasn't just like giving the ring back. It was actually a formal divorce she would have to go through. So she is engaged to this guy, and now she's pregnant, and she thinks, oh, maybe that's going to, you know, put the relationship at risk. Maybe our marriage, or even just Joseph's heart. You read the story. You see, Joseph was a good guy. Right, because he was hurt by this, and he really did love her. And so instead of shaming her or taking, you know, vengeance and, you know, prosecuting her or whatever he could have done, he tries to break up with her quietly so that she doesn't have any more shame or doesn't get in trouble. He really did love her. And I'm sure his heart was broken. I'm sure Mary was worried about this. Like, I'm going to get pregnant. What is Joseph going to think about that? That's going to hurt him. And I bet she was worried about what her parents would think. I mean, she's a young 13, 14, 15-year-old girl. Of course, she probably was worried about what her parents would say. "You're pregnant by God? What? Yeah, okay." You know, her reputation was on the line. And in fact, this was a dark cloud over the rest of her life. She was snickered at the rest of her life. Jesus was made fun of. He's called a bastard. People would say, "Oh, at least we know who our father is." Unlike you, Jesus, you know, you don't even know who your father is. And Jesus, in this one case, got really upset by it. I think he was trying to protect his mother's honor. He said, "Yeah, I know who your dad is. Satan is your dad. You look it up." He said that. But he was mad. But you could see that this was a big deal for her to say yes to being pregnant by God. There's also even the consequence of death that was threatening her. If she was caught pregnant, unmarried, they could stone her to death in that day and age. Then just the whole strangeness of the story. I mean, it's really a supernatural story. Has anyone ever experienced this angel coming and saying, "You're pregnant from God, you know, and you're a virgin"? And she was like, "How is this possible? I'm a virgin. This doesn't make sense." That's kind of crazy to go through that. That would be frightening in some ways. And then just her feeling of inadequacy, I bet she had. I mean, she was this probably poor, probably uneducated teenager. And here this angel is saying, "You're going to give birth to God. You know, your child will be called the Son of God, will have David's throne forever and ever and ever." That's quite a big deal that you, this little nobody, is at the center of the biggest thing God is doing in history. That's pretty big. I would feel intimidated by that. I would be afraid of just the change going through. Again, she's this young teenager. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. People, if you've been pregnant, it's a big change, isn't it? It's a lot to handle. And again, her baby is God. So, you know, I mean, that's actually a lot of pressure on her in that way. And finally, I think she was probably under the fear and the pressure of doing the right religious thing. You know, here she is, she's Jewish. I don't know how much she knew exactly what she should do, but she seemed to be a very devout person. God's saying, you're highly favored with God, you're doing the right thing. And here, as a religious person, God is talking to her about this new thing that God is doing, not to religious leaders. And not, you know, telling her, go confirm with the priest and make sure, you know, this is the right thing, that you're experiencing God right. She is actually stepping out in a pretty dramatic way, in a religious way, that I think that would be kind of scary for someone to do. And yet she's doing it. She's going out like that. And I think Mary is a model for us whenever we're experiencing difficult things that we think we're being asked to do in our life, when God is asking us to submit ourselves to something. It's scary. Often we wonder, do I have to change my life if I'm going to do this thing that God wants me to do? Back a few years ago, people would have this kind of cliche, like, oh, if I all of a sudden got religious, is God going to make me be a missionary out in the jungle somewhere? That was the big fear. Not so much anymore. I think nowadays people are like, well, if I'm going to get into God, is that going to make my life boring? is it going to take away all my fun? Or is it going to take away all my time? You know, I mean, it's like, I have a lot to do, God. How am I going to be able to, like, do whatever you want me to do and do all this stuff? I'm just too busy, God. There's fear about what's going to happen if we start, like, following God and submitting to God. Is it going to change our life? Are we going to like it? What are people going to think about it? Or are people going to think all of a sudden, oh, that person got too religious? Or are they going to think that person is not religious enough to be, like, you know, being a church person, you know, pointing their fingers? You know, you got to clean up your act if you're going to be the right church person. We have a fear of what people are going to be thinking about us. And I think the biggest question we have is, can we really trust God? If you actually feel like God is leading you to do something in your life, it's often pretty risky. There's often some real fear about, will it work? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's something small, like God is leading you to get involved with our children's program on Sunday morning, which I hope he is, because we need some help in our children's program. But if you did that, it's probably not going to, like, mess up your whole life if you did that. But sometimes when God is leading you to do something, it is going to totally transform everything. It's just crazy. You're not sure if it's going to work. It's putting a lot on the line. It's taking a big risk. Am I walking off a cliff? Am I going to drop? Is God going to be there? Is he trustworthy? That's a real fear that we face as we try to follow God in our life. So all of us have places in our life where we are resisting trusting God or giving ourselves that obedience to God kind of way, where we feel like, well, is it going to make my life smaller? Is it going to make my life more difficult? Is it going to take away joy or fun? Is it going to be okay for me in the end? Can I protect myself? Mary, what did she say at the end of that passage? She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done according to your word. This is really similar to what Jesus said when he was going through his dark night of the soul in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was being asked by God to go to the cross, and he didn't want to do it, of course. And he said, I don't want to do this, but not my will. Your will be done, God. I'm submitting my will to yours. If we follow along, we see, how did it work out for Mary? Luke chapter 2, it says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. They were taking a census, and he had to go to his family hometown to be able to count it. He says, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So that's the classic Jesus being born in the manger story. You might have heard it before. But think about what this actually meant for her. If this is really her story, what did she have to go through? Well, first of all, she has this angel saying, you're blessed and highly favored. You're like the best woman ever. And now you're in your third trimester, and you have to get on a donkey and ride 100 miles from your hometown to Bethlehem to get counted. Imagine going through that, like being, you know, that much pregnant and being on a donkey for a week. That was probably not that comfortable. And then she gets there, and there's not a room for her in the inn, and so she has to go in the manger. And oftentimes we have this cute little picture of the manger, and it's the animals kind of mooing Jesus to sleep, and, you know, it's this nice little... Have you ever been in a barn? Barns are full of crap. They stink. And they didn't have hand sanitizer back then. Imagine what it would be like to give birth in a barn with all the stinky, smelly animals and the flies. And it was gross. It was probably not a happy experience. And we didn't read in this part, but right after this, they're warned by an angel to flee to Egypt because someone wants to kill Jesus. So now she's in a different town, and she can't even go back home. She can't go to her family. They can't go back to their job. They have to flee to another country. She must have thought, if this is what it means to be highly favored by God, I don't want to know what it looks like to be an enemy of God. It was a tough road that she was asked to walk. And yet, she had this heart of saying, God, I am your Lord's servant. Be unto me according to your word. She is a model of faith. Because as God sometimes asks us to step out, it's often risky. It's often a holy gamble. We don't know, is it going to work out? Sometimes it doesn't work out, and it's hard. How do we keep believing God even as we're working through all that? I mean, for me, I complain so quickly when things don't go the way I expect them, and I don't get the thing I want, when there's some little roadblock in my way, or a car in my way, or whatever difficulties I'm having, because I want to call the shots. I relate to God in this way, like, hey, God, if I pray, I pray like, well, God, would you bless this plan I have? Would you help me do this thing I really want to do? Would you lead me to the thing I've already decided I'm going to do, God? I'm not praying, Lord, be unto me your servant according to your word. You know, not my will, your will be done. So following the path of Mary is hard. It's mysterious. It doesn't always work out. We're not really sure what's going on. Doesn't always make sense. I think of another mother, Mother Teresa, who this guy came up to her and said, would you pray for me, Mother Teresa? And she said, oh, sure. And what do you want prayer for? And he said, well, I want prayer for clarity. I want to understand what God wants me to do. I want it to make sense. I want to figure things out. I want clarity. And Mother Teresa said, no, I will not pray for clarity. I've never had clarity. All I've ever had was trust. And that's what I'll pray for you, is for trust. This is not easy to trust when things are hard. It's not easy to believe that we're highly favored when we're having challenges, when we're having work problems, or we don't have a job, or we have struggles with a loved one, or doctor tells us bad news, or we have a death in the family, or depression is not lifting, or you know, any number of things happen in our life. We're just feeling lonely, we're scared, we don't know what's happening. It's hard to believe that God is there for you, that we're highly favored. And it was hard for Mary. She had people talking about her whole life. She had the 100-mile trek on the donkey. She had no room for her at the inn. She must have thought, is this really what I signed up for? But she never gave up. And I know in a room this size that there's people here that probably want to give up, where you feel like it's time to throw in the towel in some way, shape, or form, at a job or a relationship or God or even life. I think Mary is here as a model to say, don't give up. Don't quit. Trust that God will come through. When you're facing fears, face them head on. You could have feelings, but just don't let your feelings have you. When you're feeling overwhelmed, keep going forward with God and trusting God. Submitting to God is always something that goes against the grain. We're just taught, we're bred, we're made to want things the way that we want them to be done. We're made to want to be in control, to sing the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. Right? That's just the independent, the self-assertive, the go-get-it-you kind of attitude that we have, particularly here in the Northeast, and the Providence statue on the state capitol is the independent man, and that's a big model for a lot of us. But I find that as I look at my life, as I look at other people's lives, as I study happiness research, that just getting your own way, getting my own way, doesn't bring happiness. Getting the gift I want for Christmas doesn't necessarily bring happiness. Getting the job or the house or the relationship or whatever it is that I think, if I had that, then everything will be set. It doesn't normally work that way. And yet there's so much freedom of not having to have my way, to not be in control and saying, God, whatever it is, what do you want from me? You know, what do you want to lead me in my life? What's your agenda for my day? What are you doing? That tends to bring just a sense of peace and a sense of joy and a sense of life that it's not all this burden on me. Like, actually, God is in charge and God is going to make things happen. It's not just for me to figure it out. So basically, as we looked at Mary, that's what she did. She said yes to the will of God. And as a pastor of a church, you would expect that's something I do a lot. I don't. I think I say a lot of no's every single day in lots of small ways and sometimes in big ways. Like, God, no, I don't want to do that, you know. Or, you know, it's not always overt. I'm not even paying attention most of the times. But sometimes it's overt. Like, I don't want to forgive that person. Or I don't want to say I'm sorry. I don't want to go through this difficult thing. I just don't want to do it, you know. But Mary, again, said, be it done unto me according to your word. I am your servant. But as you look at her life, it wasn't just obedience that she had. She had joy. She had joy in her obedience. In Luke chapter 1:46, we read, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, of her. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary, going through all her challenges, is geeked out. She's rejoicing in God. She's super excited. She's enthusiastic. The word enthusiastic comes from the Greek word entheos, which means full of God or inspired by God or possessed by God. Because the Greeks knew that if you're excited, there's like a connection to God happening. There's something that you could only get from God that really gives you joy. And that's what she had. She wasn't just doing what God was asking her to do because she had to, because it's the right thing to do. In fact, she probably thought she might have been doing the wrong thing according to her religion. But she knew that God was talking to her. She had the sense, like, this is what God is leading me to do. And it gave her joy because she had God. She had something powerful happening. She actually had this spiritual connection. And it was great. Was it hard? Absolutely. But Mary was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. That's a pretty good thing on your resume. You know, you would suffer a lot for that, to be the front row seat on the greatest thing that ever happened in this world. She had some amazing things happening. I think it's hard for us sometimes to submit to God. Even the word is hard to even think of for me, because it feels like it's like taking our medicine. It's like this thing we have to do because, you know, Jesus is like the cop that's going to catch us speeding and kind of write us up a ticket or whatever it is. But as we look at Mary, everything God asked her to do, she was excited about it. She knew it was going to be good. And as we look at the God of the universe, and maybe we've had experiences where we did try something that God was leading us to do, and it worked maybe, and we started thinking, well, maybe actually God knows a little stuff. Maybe he's actually pretty smart. Maybe actually something he's asking me to do is actually be good for me. Maybe I should try it. You know, maybe he knows me better than I know me. I think 9 out of 10 times it works like that. Not every time. Oftentimes I feel like if I say, you know, God, you know, what do you think about this? And if it's different than I expected, maybe that makes sense it would be different. Because if it really is God, it probably isn't my own natural thought, right? Because God should be big and I'm not that big, whatever. It seems like God is actually talking whenever it's different. And that tends to work out, even if it's hard, even if it's scary, because he's good. He knows us. And Mary didn't know everything, how it worked out. It didn't always make sense. She was at risk of being stoned and not in the fun kind of way. But she said, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I was talking to one of you recently, and you were telling me that for Advent, for these 4 weeks that we've been participating in Advent, you were trying to fast something, try to give up something to make room for Jesus. We're talking about making room in the inn and making room in us and how we can make room maybe through fasting, by giving something up. And this person said, I didn't know what to give up, but I don't have much time. And so I thought maybe I should fast from sleep. Maybe I should wake up a little bit early and spend some time with God. And they said, and I decided to do something I don't like, which is read the Bible. This person is from a church background, and they did not like reading the Bible. And I understand. It's sometimes hard to read the Bible. But then they said, but I try to read in a different way than I've ever read it before. I didn't look for information. I was more meditative. I was more trying to connect with God in the reading and just feel his spirit in the reading. And he said, it's been amazing. This person has been stuck on connecting with God in the morning. That's easy to give up sleep because he's getting something so good from God. It's a joy. It's not a sacrifice. It's like getting so much more out of it. And I think we sometimes could resist God because we think it's not going to be for our good. It's not going to make us happy. And so maybe that's not the right thing to do, whatever you feel like you should do. Maybe it's not the right thing to do if it's not going to make you happy. A good question to ask is, is whatever you're doing with God making you happy? Is it actually helping you in your life? Or maybe another question is, are you happy in life? Is whatever you're doing to make yourself happy working out? And if it is, great. Awesome. Keep up with it. And if it's not, then maybe try something different. Because sometimes we try the same old thing expecting something different, right? Which is the definition of insanity. And so maybe just try something different. Try to see how God might be leading us. Even if you're doing a religious thing, it's not really working out for you. I find spiritual practices have a shelf life. You might be trying to read the Bible in a meditative way, and it was working, and then it didn't work. So try something else. Try to pray with people or pray quietly to yourself or silence. Or there's all kinds of stuff to do. We have a website that has all kinds of spiritual stuff is the name of the tab. All kinds of spiritual stuff that we recommend. You can check it out, thewoo.org. One of the biggest mysteries that Mary experienced was the mystery of not just God speaking to her or God, leading her in a life that was not always clear what was going to happen, but was that actually God was coming to live inside of her, and certainly in the pregnancy experience, but also the experience of God's presence. The Lord is with you. You're highly favored even before she was pregnant. And that's the mystery that is actually offered to all of us. We read this in Colossians 1, 26 and 27 says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, that God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that's the mystery, that we actually get to experience God in us, Jesus in us, in some mysterious but amazing way. We experience God for our own sake, but also, like Mary, we experience God in a way that puts something in us to then kind of come out of us for other people as well, to almost be pregnant by God and give birth to God in some way. We can bring Jesus around to people, like Mary, who had to give up something, had to, kind of go through the process of being pregnant and sacrifice and that obedience, but it actually brought Jesus to the world. I think similarly, we all have an opportunity to also experience something from God that we can bring. And I think it's the best thing we could probably do with our life. If we're the president of the United States and we are not bringing Jesus in a situation, we probably are missing out. I think it's actually better than whatever else we could do. So I want to talk about some practical ways for us to follow the path of Mary, the model of Mary, and how we could experience making room for Jesus and experience Jesus for ourselves and helping bring Jesus to the world. The quote that came to my mind from the Bible is a quote that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. I thought as we're getting into the new year, maybe that idea of putting God first, making room for God in our life, in our day, in our however, that could actually set things up for the rest of the year. I thought about, you ever try that thing with the rocks and the big rocks and the small rocks and then the real little pebbles and then the sand and the water in the bucket? You ever do that one? Where if you put the water in the bucket and then the sand in the bucket and then the little rocks and the bigger rocks and eventually you can't get the big rocks in it. That doesn't fit. You guys ever do that? You ever do it? Yeah. But if you do it the opposite way, the empty bucket, put the big rocks in and then the small rocks, they kind of fit in between the big rocks and the little rocks fit in there and the sand kind of finds its way in there. And then the water and everything fits in there. And it really does work like that in my life, at least, that if I actually organize my priorities in such a way where the most important things happen first, then I tend to make everything fit. But if I don't do that, if I just kind of go haphazard, then there's all kinds of things that just don't fit into the bucket. And I think Jesus sometimes is the thing that I most often leave out of the bucket. And it makes sense to me to maybe try to put him in the bucket first. And so as I've been practicing starting off my day with Jesus. And one of my recommendations is maybe try the first 15 minutes of your day with Jesus and see how that goes. Like my friend was waking up early to do that. I don't wake up early to do it. I just wake up and the first 15 minutes I spend with Jesus. My wife, she likes to practice listening to this website called Pray As You Go. We actually have that on a spiritual stuff link on our website as well. Pray As You Go, it's kind of that meditative way of listening to the Bible, and there's some questions, and you kind of experience God while you are listening to the Bible. It's about 15 minutes. I like it, but I actually prefer silence in the morning, just having a chance to not even pray, just to just make room for God in my mind or my body or whatever it is, just kind of open up. And I think silence is actually one of the best ways for me to experience the mystery of God. Because so much of trying to understand how God works, it just doesn't make sense. And so getting used to having my life not make sense or having my life not be like all in my mind tends to make me a little bit more open to God coming in ways that are not normal. It just helps for whatever reason. So maybe you want to practice silence first 15 minutes, or maybe a couple questions. If this is kind of new for you, or you want to try to experience God speaking to you, some questions to maybe suggest. I didn't give you anything to write down, but if you want to try to remember these questions, you could try. One question is, God, who am I? I think that's a surprisingly important question to ask God. Who am I? Who am I, God? Who am I really? Another question is, who are you, God? Who are you? And that could be a really powerful question to ask. If you feel like you could open up to see, God, I want to hear from you. I want to see something from you. Speak to me. If you're there, speak to me. Who are you, God? And then the third, what did you make me for? And that tends to go towards the idea of like God actually wanting to use us in our life, to do something through us in our life. So first 15 minutes of the day. Another suggestion maybe, this is a little self-serving, first day of the week, try to spend with God. First day of the week tends to be Sunday. And so the suggestion would obviously, you know, make sense to say, well, maybe go to church on Sunday, but I won't even say that for sure. Or maybe I'll just say, maybe go to church, but you don't have to go to this church. But it tends to help people set their week off to have a time set apart just to connect with God. And maybe connect with people, but just to give them space. I know my friend Michael is always telling me, I don't have time to go to church this week, but I know if I don't go to church, my week will not work out right. And he says, you know, because he does go to church, he's smiling throughout the week, and people always ask, why are you smiling throughout the week? And he's like, oh, I went to church this week, and it just helped my week be better. So do it because Michael says to do it. And finally, my suggestion is the first part of the year. This is just coming up in the new year. Maybe it's helpful to spend a couple days set aside just to really focus on God and ask God to speak to you. Maybe he'll give you a theme for this year. Sometimes God seems to do that for me. Give me a sense of like what this year is going to be about, maybe some goals to have for this year, personal goals or work goals or whatever it is. And spend some time just the first part of the year with God. Set up your budget. God, how do you want me to manage my money? How do you want me to manage my time? What do you want me to kind of do? And just kind of look at the year with God and just spend some time just kind of giving him some space to speak about that. Maybe in that question of God, what do you want to do this year? Maybe the question is, God, what do you want to do through me this year? You know, in what way am I pregnant? What way do you want to give birth to something through me? Birth to Jesus, a birth to something that's new or helpful for other people. God seems to call us to stretch, just like pregnancy, to stretch and be uncomfortable, but in a way that brings life to this world, that helps this world in some kind of way. I think if we're not stretching, if we're not being used by God in some kind of way, we're just going to be bored and we're going to be boring. So that's, you know, we're not going to be somebody that really is enthusiastic or really feels alive. Life is not about you, as my mentor likes to say. You are about life. Life is not about you. You are about life. You are made to bring life to this world, to be a generative person, to make something happen that nobody else could do, that God wants to do something through you to the world. So in some way, you're pregnant. In some way, that's painful. Childbirth is painful, blood and sweat and tears, but it's worth it. It's totally, totally worth it. So just like those soldiers that stepped out of that trench into no man's land, if you step out how God is leading you to, you might get shot. But the people that wrote home after that experience on Christmas Day 1914, all of them said it was the most amazing experience of their life. To be in the middle of that war, connecting, I think through God, with other people. It was an amazing experience. Mary put it all on the line. Her life, her relationship, her financial capabilities, her comfort, her agenda, her child, everything. She put it all on the line. She said, I'm just going to trust you and you alone, God. Not my religion, not my past, not my parents, not all that stuff. I'm trusting you, God, and you alone. I close with a poem by Wendell Berry, one of my favorite poets, this farmer poet. He said, no, no, there is no going back. Less and less you are that possibility you were. More and more you have become those lives and deaths that have belonged to you. You have become a sort of grave containing much that was and is no more in time, beloved. Then, now, and always. And so you have become a sort of tree standing over the grave. Now more than ever, you can be generous towards each day that comes young to disappear forever and yet remain unaging in the mind. Every day you have less reason not to give yourself away. Let me read it again. No, no, there is no going back. Less and less you are that possibility you were. More and more you have become those lives and deaths that have belonged to you. You have become a sort of grave containing much that was and is no more in time, beloved. Then, now, and always. And so you have become a sort of tree standing over the grave. Now more than ever you can be generous towards each day that comes young to disappear forever and yet remain unaging in the mind. Every day you have less reason not to give yourself away. Would you stand? I'd like to pray for us. God, one of the things I really like about poetry is that it's kind of hard to understand and causes me to stretch and causes me to use something different than my mind and open up a little bit in my heart and open up, I think, a little bit more to you. Because, God, you don't make sense all the time. So I pray that we would be able to walk into mystery during this Advent season, but all the time. That we don't have to demand things being clear and logical and make sense to us. That we're open just to how big you are and some of the crazy things you want to do. God, I pray that we would just kind of get a sense of being knocked over by you. That we would let down our guard, let down our agendas and our mind frames of how it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to be. That we would be like, you know, an uneducated young person who in many ways shouldn't be the person that would have the authority to know what God is doing in the world. And yet, God, you spoke to. I think you have her as a model of saying that for us to follow you, we have to become like a child and simply trust, simply follow you with faith that you will come through, that it will work out, and that it will be good, that it will be fun, it will be joy. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isaiah 7, 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.
Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt.
Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. Sing, take a moment. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, you're lifting my load again. And no longer, no longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. His burden is so light. Let's sing, take a moment again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go. There you go, you're lifting my load again. And no longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Up under the yoke of Jesus, his yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus, his yoke is easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light.
His yoke is easy.
His burden is so light. My burden is so light.
I don't want to get super bogged down in like historical stuff, but it's just kind of like rolling around in my brain, the image of the yoke. At the time that Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," the yoke was a spiritual teacher's teaching, and Jesus was really upset with people whose spiritual teaching put more weight on individuals, put more weight on their access to God, and telling them that they had to go through these really arduous rituals to be acceptable to God. And Jesus offered a different yoke, one that he said was easy and light. And I just feel like that kind of gives some context to what we're singing, you know. It's helpful. Jesus came to give us access to God and give us free space into his presence. And so we have that now and each moment. So there is no burden. There's no weight. We don't have to try.
You're lifting my load. 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 You're lifting my load, come and lift. Come lift my load. Come lift my load. You lift. You're lifting my load. 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 No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come up under of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden is so light.
His yoke is easy,
your burden is so light.
His yoke is easy,
your burden is so light.
His yoke is easy,
your burden is so light. Yeah, your burden is so light. Your burden, it is love. Your burden, it is love. Burden, it is
love. Can you feel
my heart?
can feel your heart as you reach for me. I can feel your heart as you reach for me.
I can feel your heart as you reach for me. I can feel your heart as you reach for me. I can feel your heart as you reach for me. I can feel your heart as you reach for me. Break me open, God in motion. Light my world with fire and rain.
Break me open, God in motion. I can feel you, God. I can feel you, God. I want more of you. We want more of you. I can feel you, God.
There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. To set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. Oh, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. Oh, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. Oh, I want more of you, God.
I want more.
I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. Won't you pour it out? We want more. 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 Won't you pour it out? Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
So won't you pour it out?
We were singing Break Me Open, and that image is sort of just, I feel like it's similar to what Luke's talking about, just like kind of being leveled by God and then just left with what you have. It's like you and him. And so I just we'll pray, God, you know, while we are spending time together to connect with you, will you level us, God? Whatever that might mean, God, would you do that? You say yes to what you have for us. This is a new song for our community. You give life, you are love. You bring hope to the darkness. You give hope and you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Let's sing that again. Great are you. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, and you restore every heart that is, you give life, and you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, and you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. This next part's fun.
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the Spirit. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees and hear. Born truly taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease.
Sweet
hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we with all our hearts. We praise his holy name, O Christ is our Lord, and ever, ever praise we his power.
Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As far as east, as far as east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
Praise.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord.
Just the drums and the voices.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Praise the
I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for being with us here today. We get to experience you, God. Amazing. That's awesome. Thank you. I pray that you bless everybody's week, that they have just a great time with family or friends or with you or whatever. In Jesus' name, amen.